Friends, here in Psalm 37 and verse 31, we are told about what I call the heart Bible. The heart Bible. It says here in verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. He talks about the law being in his heart. The heart Bible. What does this mean? Why does this man's steps not slide? Why is he not slipping? It says there, none of his steps shall slide. Because he has a Bible in his heart. That's why. Why is it that many people's steps fail and fall? Why do people fall into traps? Because they are not keeping the Word of God in their hearts. And I'm asking this question, it's a rhetorical question, just to get you to see the value of simple observation from this text. From the context, it is quite clear why this man's steps do not slip. Here is this righteous man that we've been talking about. We've been thinking about this man who has been referred to in this psalm, that the Lord preserves him. His trust is in the Lord. He is seeking the Lord. He is not fretting because the Lord is his God. And here is another description of him. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God. It's not the law of other people. It's not the law of the land. It's not the law of his family. It's not the law of himself. It's not his standards, but it is his God's standard. The Lord is his personally. He personally knows the God of the Bible. And this knowledge is a heartfelt knowledge. It doesn't say the law of his God is in his head. It doesn't say the law of his God is in his hand. He is a man who carries his Bible everywhere in his hand or in his pocket or on his device. No. This law is in his heart. Think about this. And this passage calls for a simple question then. How could having God's word in our hearts, and what is this talking about? In some way, it's talking about the memorizing of the scriptures, having it so worked out that we remember it. How is this affecting his steps? Well, another question to be asked, why is it that we do neglect to do something that God's word clearly states is so valuable in our Christian walk? Why is it that we neglect it? It's a personal question, but a serious one we all need to ponder, as very few believers are serious about storing the Word of God in their hearts, going over it again and again, pondering over it, memorizing it, praying over it, using it, obeying it. Even though it is saying that it facilitates a holy walk, it actually helps us not to fall. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's a great encouragement. God's word has power because God's Spirit has written it, and the Spirit of God brings it to our remembrance and applies it and strengthens us. And it leads us again and again. This law of God leads us to Jesus Christ. Even the law in the sense of Mosaic law of the Old Testament, even the various passages that you would think of, well, how could I keep all of these ceremonial laws or these other laws that were given? And how could a Jew remember all of these things? Well, they all failed, as we would all fail. But all of these things are, the scripture says, our schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ. And that's what the Word of God does. And that's why it is powerful, because it is through Jesus Christ we can do all things, the scripture says. Spurgeon says this about this text: the best thing in the best place, the law of his God is in his heart, producing the best results. None of his steps shall slide. So think about it. If a person's heart is filled with the best of words, the word of God, then what comes out of the heart? What does the Lord say? It's the things that are stored up, treasured up in the heart, then comes forth. Then your words will be tainted by the scriptures, or illuminated by the scriptures, or will be radiating, I should say, by the scriptures. Your words will be affected. Your thinking will be affected. Your living will be affected. So to love holiness, to have the motives, the desires that are sanctified and godly, to obey from the heart, is to do what the word of God has said. But as long as it is stored up in our hearts, as long as we are loving it, delighting in it, as long as we are praying over it, thinking through in our hearts, then you can be sure that our steps will be kept from any serious mistake. You want to be stable? Oh, how often we are unstable. You want to be stable? Do you want to be maturing? You want to be balanced in your views? Then you must have a heart that is, by God's meditation on God's word, which is in the heart. And to have the Lord as your Lord. You see, you can have programs, you can have plans, but they can slip, they can trip you up. Programs and plans can twist. They can become a drudgery. Programs and plans may not last with you. But when there is sincerity, when there is a heart matter, that's why this law of God is in his heart. When it is actually stored in the heart and you sincerely trust in that word, then you are like a plodder, going slowly, but you will reach the end. Finally, safely. It won't be a drudgery to you. The heart is important, and what's in it is important. The content of the heart is important. And here he's saying, the man, this righteous man, has this characteristic. The law of his God is in his heart. A person is spiritually profited when God's word strengthens and protects against sin. The Holy Scriptures are given to us not only for the purpose of revealing to us what kind of a person we are, our natural sinfulness. And they show us in many, many ways that we fall short of the glory of God. Yes, that they do that. But also to teach us how to obtain deliverance from sin, how to be kept from displeasing God and sinning against him. That's why the psalmist, he says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is what each of us is to do, to receive God's word, to lay it up in our hearts. And what are those things that you ought to be treasuring up and storing up and memorizing and thinking over and praying over? Things like the commandments of God. Things like what is God's will for us. Things like the warnings of God. Things like the exhortations of the Lord. We need to store these things up. And also things like the promises of God to the Christian. You ought to have some method, some way of marking them out, some way of writing them out in topics, in ways that you can use it readily. It's no point saying, oh, it's somewhere in the Bible. I believe in the promises in some general terms. But to actually have some way, to have a book maybe, to have it at the back of your Bible or in some notebook to write these things out. These are the verses that really have helped me, have brought me out of many troubles. This is a passage, this is a section that I am going to use again and again and again. I don't want to forget it. So you have to, in a practical way, write them down. You ought to treasure them. You ought to memorize them. You ought to meditate on them, every word of it. Just spend some time thinking about the positives, the negatives. What if this was for you? What if this wasn't for you? What if you obeyed it? What would happen if you disobeyed it? And all sorts of things. Who is this talking about? Who is this for? Who is this against? Then you need to pray over them. You need to ultimately practice them. Actually, when it is the time to practice them, you ought to say, now this is the time. I must, whatever the cost may be, however painful it may be, I will take this and I will obey the word of God. It's no point just talking about it. It's no point just praying about it. We ought to put feet to our words and prayers. The only effective way of keeping a plot of ground from being overgrown by weeds is to take the weeds out and to sow good weed, a good seed, I should say, not good weed. There is no good weed, but good seed you ought to sow. So what do? We overcome evil with good, the scripture says. So the more of God's word dwells in us richly, it says in Colossians 3:16, that it might dwell in you richly, the less room will there be for sin to be working in our hearts and lives. So you fill your life, you fill your soul with the word of God. It's not sufficient merely to say, yes, I agree with the Bible, I assent to it. Yes, it is true. So you agreed to its truthfulness. That's not enough. You see, the devil would also say the same thing. Yes, the Bible is true. The devil believes in God. But they require to be received into the... Not, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about that pumping device that pumps out blood. But we are talking about the seat of our affection. We are receiving into our affections. And this is so serious because, you see, so many things the Bible says to us, warning us about not receiving the word of God, and even saying that those who don't receive the word of God and reject it, they are the ones who apostatize from the faith. And sadly, in recent times, you have heard of the death of the Archbishop of South Africa, the Bishop Tutu, and how he said he would rather go to hell than to be in a heaven that agrees with the things that the Bible says regarding homosexuality. He says, I'd rather be in hell than be in a heaven full of homophobes, is referred to, people who were trying to uphold the truth of the scriptures at the time in South Africa. And a person who doesn't receive the word of God. Now, we don't know what happened to him at the end. We don't know if did he trust in the Lord or not, but it seemed until the end he was set in his mind against some of the fundamentals of the faith. But the scripture says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Of those people who were apostatized, because they received not the love of the truth, it says. Because they received not the love of the truth. These are people who outwardly seem to be Christians, but they left the faith because they received not the love of the truth. So if it just is used by your tongue and my tongue or in the mind, if you only want to make it a matter of talk and speculation, it will soon be gone. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, puts it like this: the seed which lies on the surface, the fowls in the air will pick up. Therefore, hide it deeply. Let it get from the ear into the mind, from the mind into the heart. Let it soak in further and further. It is only when it hath a prevailing sovereignty in the heart that we receive it in the love of it, when it is dearer than our dearest lust, then it will stick to us. Friends, nothing else will preserve from the infections of this world. Nothing else will deliver from the temptations of Satan. Nothing else will be as effective preservative against sin as the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was being tempted of the devil, used this word, quoted it again and again. And you must receive this into your affections. You must love it, delight in it. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. As long as the truth is active within us, as long as it stirs your conscience, and as long as it is really, truly loved by us, we'll be kept from falling. That's what the scripture promises. You see, when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, what was happening is not saying I'm quoting from the scripture here for you. No, no. The principles of the law of God, the truth of God, the word of God was in his heart. He knew that the law of God was against this thing. And he knew that he was going to sin against God. So the word of God was there. And so then it had that prevailing power over his lusts. And friends, none of us knows when he may be tempted. You don't know when you'll be tempted. I don't know when I'll be tempted. And so it is so necessary to be prepared against it. Isaiah speaks of this and asks this question in Isaiah 42 and verse 23 about listening, not just for now, but for future times. So he asks a couple of questions in that verse. He says, who among you will give ear to this word that he has just said? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? He says, who is going to listen for the time, not just now, but for future, the time to come? Are you going to listen for future days? Are you going to store this up so that you'll be prepared, ready for the future? So yes, we are to anticipate the future. We ought to be fortified against it by storing up the word in our hearts, because there will come a time of emergency. There will come a time that you desperately need it. And as my teachers at college used to say when the exam time used to come, he said, the Holy Spirit will not help you to bring into your remembrance things that are not there to remember. If you have not stored it in your heart, how would the Holy Spirit bring it to your remembrance? So they would say to us, so revise for your exam. And then you can depend on the Holy Spirit to help you. There's an interesting phrase, well, many interesting verses similar to it in Jude. In Jude 17, verse 17, there is a text, and we could quote from 1 Peter, we could quote from 1 Corinthians and other passages, and even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ about remembering. In Jude 17, it makes a statement that relates to storing the Bible in our hearts and memorizing the words of the Lord. It says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, do you remember that? Do you remember what the apostles said? You remember? You see, in the days of the apostles, the believers relied on memory for the singing of the psalms and hymns in the worship services. And you see, they were not going about with Bibles in their hands. No, no. There were portions of the scriptures here and there in various congregations that would be copied out and so on. And so they had to rely so much on their memories. And so that's why these words of remembrance is used in the scriptures. They had to learn by heart numerous messianic passages from the Old Testament. They had to retain these passages of the gospel that they had heard from the apostles. They were forced to develop their memories because they had only limited access to written books. And those few books that were kept, the books of the scripture that were kept in local churches. In our days, we have become accustomed to relying on the written word. And so we don't exercise our memories. We say, well, I'll just depend on that written word. And it is a wonderful thing that we have the written word. But here is speaking about that word in the heart. We claim that as long as we are able to refer to something in print or on our devices, we have no need to memorize it. We don't have to retain it, to remember it quickly. And so what happens to your mind if you don't use it, if you don't exercise it to store things? What happens when you don't store things in your mind and heart? Then it just quickly wipes out, quickly it vanishes away. We retain facts for immediate use, but soon they're replaced with new information. And that's why you ought to seek to retain the scriptures in your mind and heart by going over it, by meditating. And friends, this kind of a mindset has prevailed so much that we quickly forget the things that we hear. We quickly forget sermons that are preached week after week for our edification. Do you retain it? Do you think about it through the week? Do you take notes of it and try to then analyze it and process it in your own walk and life? Do you, by the end of the week, do you forget it? I was reading an article that said, by the end of the sermon, most people have remembered just half of it. And by the end of the week, hardly any of it. This is in just general evangelical circles and that people believe in the Word of God. It said, this is, and I quote, this percentage dwindles to less than 5% by the last day of the same week. I hope that won't be the case with us. I hope we seek to think through these things, the messages that we are hearing. And maybe you might say, well, I forget it. Well, why not listening to it again? Listen to it through the week again. And that's why the ministers of old printed their sermons. That's why Spurgeon on Monday morning would revise his sermons and remove all of his mistakes and then publish it, a penny a sermon, and would be publicized throughout the world. Because he also knew that people need to retain the sermons and go over it again and again and again. In the Old Testament and New Testament, we are told to treasure God's word. And so the psalmist rejoiced. He says, thy word have I hid in mine hand. Thy word have I stored on my mobile. No, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, they can take away your Bible. There may come a time, as it has happened in England before, they can take away everything you've got, but they can't take away the Bible that's been stored in your heart. They can't take that away unless they take away your heart altogether. And that's why the Lord Jesus said to the churches, both in Thyatira and Philadelphia, these words, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. That which ye have already, hold fast till I come. That's in Revelation 2:25 and Revelation 3:11. A similar wording is used. John Trapp, the Puritan, regarding this text, says these words, and I thought they were so good, I want to quote them. He says this, the law of his God is in his heart, It says, he hath a Bible in his head and another in his heart. He hath a good treasure within, and there hence bringeth good things. He speaketh not by note, and by as a bungler, or as a philosopher only, but by proof, and as one that can say, I believed, I have felt it, and therefore have I spoken. None of his steps shall slide. He says this, how should they, when they walk so exactly and by such a rule? He says, the reason is because he's exactly obeying the word of God. The details of it are so important too, he's saying. And he then quotes from Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, holding to it, dared to say, Lord, if I am deceived, thou hast deceived me. And you can read that from Jeremiah 20, verse 7, that he's saying that these people are saying to me that you've been deceived. But so he says, well, if I'm deceived, it's God who has deceived me. That's how I have kept so close. He's not saying God deceives him. He says, even if it was possible, he's been so exact in obeying the word of God. And so he's ridiculing his enemies. Now, our time is over, but let me say something about the phrase there, none of his steps shall slide. His steps shall slide. I want to say a few things about slippery places. Slippery places. Slipping and sliding in the Bible are so often used, and the expression of the sliding of the feet and stumbling is often used. And it's an emblem, a picture of danger. And let me mention three dangers here. And that's why the Word of God is so important in our lives. First of all, the danger of falling into sin through temptation. That's the first place. The danger of falling into sin through temptation. You see, if you once fall into the sin, you may, by God's grace, get up. You may, by God's grace and forgiveness, rise again. But you may sadly be bruised, as you may fall naturally. And you may get up, but you may be bruised. And what may happen to us is that you may have that mark in your life for the rest of your days. So that's why there is danger. That's why we need to keep close to the Lord and His Word. So even though we slip, it would be better if we never slipped at all. So that is one thing about slippery places, the danger of falling into sin through temptation. The second thing is this, the danger of failing or falling into ruin and destruction through sin, falling into ruin and destruction. The psalmist says in Psalm 73, verse 18. Psalm 73, verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. God is speaking there, or David is speaking there of those who had rebelled against God, the wicked, and God had punished them for their sin into destruction. You see, God has many methods to deal with sinners. Sometimes he draws them by his goodness, but at other times by his severity and harshness. But if the sinner will not listen, then God lets that man have his own way and go in his own way to that terrible destruction. And that's somewhere that you don't want to go. You don't want to fall into sin and temptation. You don't want to fall into ruin and destruction. But the third place is this, the danger of falling into unbelief. Through what? Through hardship, through adversity. You see, in Psalm 94 and verse 18, speaks about this. He says that when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. He talks about the time he was going through great trouble. He was looking around and seeing all the wicked prospering, and his life was so hard and difficult and painful. And he instead of trusting in the Lord, he nearly fell. And he says this, my foot slippeth. But then he goes on to say, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. So that's a dangerous place to be in. A falling into unbelief. Falling into unbelief through the hardships of life. And there are those who, when they come into these dark and troublous experiences and their foot is slipping into unbelief, what happens to them? There are people who won't lay hold upon God for help. They won't ask God for support and for deliverance. What do then? They nurse their gloomy situation. They go and sulk, and they go and nurse their troubles even further. That's not a good place to be, my friends. That's not a good place to be. The psalmist says, my foot slippeth. I am nearly falling. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. People can lose their wealth. They can lose their health. They can lose their friends. They can lose their jobs, whatever it is. But make sure you don't lose your heavenly treasure. Make sure you don't lose your heavenly friend by not trusting in him, helping you in your time of need. And how do we trust him? By what he has said in his word. As we treasure up his promises in our hearts. So let us then, whenever we come into the slippery places of adversity, hardship, in a time where nearly unbelief sets in times when nearly we are falling into temptations, let us remind ourselves of the word of God. Seek to grasp by faith the cross of Calvary, holding on to the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. And then he will hold you up, because he's there to hold us up. His word assures us, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, friends, here's a wonderful text then. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. And the tense of the verb here is in present tense, and it continues on forever. May God bless these words.